Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSR HealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Welcome to the Linda McKenzie Show. This week, let's remember, now is the time for a new beginning. Our guest today is Victoria Moran. She's author of Age Like a Yogi, and I'll be giving you lots of fun and useful information, as well as answering your natural health, your mind, your spirit questions later on in the show. But right now, let's get right to our guest. Today, we have with us Victoria Moran. She's author of Age Like a Yogi. Victoria is a longtime devotee of yoga, who at 70... trained as a yoga instructor, plus she is a multi-book author, founder-director of Main Street Vegan Academy, and a co-founder of the Compassion Consortium. Welcome, Victoria.
Oh, thank you, Linda. Thanks for having me.
Boy, it's been a long time since we had lunch in New York, hasn't it?
It is. That was, I think, my only time ever to go to Staten Island. No, I went twice. My daughter was in a play there once. So you are responsible for one of my trips out of Manhattan.
That's right, on the ferry terminal, no matter what. Excuse me one second. I have a frog in my throat. I woke up this morning with a frog. So I'm going to let you do most of the talking then. That's pretty good, right? Well, first off, I really like your latest book. Now, why and how should you view age as a spiritual construct? What do you mean by that?
Well, we know that physiological aging is just a fact of the material world, and whether someone has a butterfly's lifespan or a redwood's lifespan, there's a span, and we're all birthed or hatched or whatever, and we come to maturity, we have the option to reproduce, and then things start going south, and eventually we go on to the next adventure. So when I talk about spiritual aging, it doesn't deny that this physical aging is a thing, and we all have to deal with it, and there are wonderful things that we can do to help with health and vitality as we get older. The fact is, the body is going to do what it does, but within us is this wonderful self with a capital S in yoga, they capitalize the S, that divine within, that light within, and it's always there, and it doesn't age. And one way to kind of remember that we're not this aging body is to think about something we did in fifth grade, something we did when we were 25. If we're past that now, who was that person? And why can we still remember it? It's because we have this inner self that doesn't age, and the more we can relate to that, the younger and more vital we are going to feel.
I think, too, that as we age, it becomes where we reach out for spirituality a little bit more and understanding our inner self. I mean, I think that's one of the keys so that you can get peace and you stay active. For example, I'm 75 and you know, I'm still running two businesses. I'm writing a book a year. I'm producing my very first record despite this froggy voice. You know, I'm producing my very first record ever, you know, this year and, you know, starting TV shows and doing all sorts of stuff. So, you know, but you do keep your body in shape and you have to both work with body, mind, and spirit. And I've been doing yoga for about 40 years, and I do it weekly now, but I used to do the hot yoga, you know, where you did it in 115-degree heat. And yoga keeps you flexible. And if you do yoga, it does keep you flexible, not only, and when your body is flexible, your mind stays flexible. So everything works in conjunction, including your spirituality. So that's why I love your book, is because you take all these pieces and parts and you're explaining very layperson, this is why. And people need to understand this so that they can live their best life. And I just absolutely love your new book.
So bless you. Thank you. And that is so true. That, and one of the things I love about yoga is it comes on so many levels that you can meet it wherever you are. So in the physical aspect of yoga, the asanas, the posture practice that most of us think of when somebody says yoga, there are very athletic forms. Somebody has even come up with this thing that they're calling USA Yoga, which is a competitive yoga program that I guess aims one day to be in the Olympics, which to me is completely antithetical to the real idea of yoga, which is go within. You're not competing with anybody.
Right.
And yet you find it where you want to find it. And like, you know, the hot yoga is there. It's amazing. It gives you that support for the muscles and all the wonderful things that our ballet teachers used to tell us about doing yoga in the heat. But you get to a time where maybe that's not quite the thing.
Yeah, exactly. You know when? You know,
there's this whole philosophy underneath, so that even if the asana practice becomes a small part of your practice overall, you still have this incredibly rich life.
Well, yeah. I mean, the reason I stopped hot yoga was menopause. I mean, after being a hot flash in 115 degree heat with 35 people, I said, I'm going to just relax and do regular low yoga. You know? I mean, so, you know, there's a time for everything, you know, and yoga can, you know, you can do it. I mean, I do it with a senior group. We have 80-year-olds and 90-year-olds doing yoga. So it's for your flexibility. It's to give you peace of mind. It's also to give you a time of yourself, you know, where you're completely in yourself and nobody really looks at you when you're doing yoga because you're concentrating on the poses. So it's a place where you can also be very free. And so tell me a little bit how yoga can extend youthfulness.
Well, so many ways. So since we're talking about the physical practice, the asana practice, let's start there. So I have a lot of mentors, women who are older than me, and you and I are the same age. I'll turn 75 this month. But I still have mentors who are older, and one of the most mentorish is my very first yoga teacher, Stella Chirfas, that I found when I moved to London when I was 18. She is now 99. She still teaches one class a week. She lives in a third floor walk-up. She hosts a women's salon every Sunday morning. So she is doing it at 99. And I think about this gracious, beautiful way that she's gone from doing those flamboyant kinds of postures that we see on Instagram to teaching chair yoga, doing chair yoga, stretching in the morning, adapting the practice to herself rather than kind of the way that a lot of us in the West have been trained. You do it the way that person does it, no matter what. You make yourself different. You adapt yourself to the practice. But yoga has always said, no, the practice adapts to you. But that is just the outer edge, because in yoga we're told that we have a whole series of bodies, the physical body, the most dense. Its Sanskrit translation is actually food sheath. It's this body, this dense thing that we build from the food that we eat. But then we have these subtler bodies, and the beautiful thing about yoga is that all the practices, whether we're talking asana or breath work, meditation, relaxation, withdrawal of the senses, practicing the moral precepts and the personal disciplines, they all work on a whole variety of these bodies, these levels. So this is why, well, so many of these things that we do that are holistic, not just yoga, but getting a really good massage, getting acupuncture. You know, you might go to acupuncture because your shoulder hurts, but then you go into this wonderful, almost sedated state, and when you come out of it, not only does the shoulder feel better, but you feel better mentally and emotionally. And yoga is the same way. All of these practices are designed to heal us on every level.
Yeah, I think so too. And now, what is an asana? Because you mentioned that. And how do they help? And how does it work with the breath?
Sure. So an asana is an easy, relaxed position, is actually how it translates. If we've got any history nerds out there like I am, in Patanjali's Yoga Sutras, and this is considered the basic text of yoga, We're not really sure when it was written, sometime at least 1,000 years BCE. That word asana, it's one of the limbs of yoga, but it's easy, relaxed position. And what it means in that context is you need to find a way to sit comfortably so that you can meditate. So all these other postures that everybody knows, the child's pose and the downward facing dog and the headstand and all of those, they came much later. There was a book in the Middle Ages called the Hatha Yoga Pradipika that introduced those with the idea that if you want to be able to sit for long periods in meditation, which these yogis did, because the point of life in yoga is enlightenment, is to find the truth, and so you want to be able to sit long enough in stillness that the truth can communicate with you. So the idea was that if you do these exercises, if you observe nature and replicate the positions that these animals take and some of these other natural formations, then this can build strength, flexibility, and the ability to sit for a long period of time. But in addition, and this is where yoga is in beautiful juxtaposition with Chinese medicine as well, there is the idea of prana, which is life force energy. It flows through the bodies. If you have a background in martial arts or traditional Chinese medicine, you know about the meridians allowing for the flow of qi. In yoga, it's the nadis that allow for the flow of prana. So when you ask about the connection between the breath work, which is called pranayama, or mastery of this life force, this is a way that between the position of the body and the use of the breath, it calms, it connects, and it opens up these channels so that more of this life force energy can flow through. And when we talk about aging youthfully, that's the point. Because somebody can be 30 years old, they can be in dire straits, they can have had a very hard life, they can have either been mistreated or mistreated themselves with drug addiction and whatever, and they're very old, regardless of their chronological age, because that prana has been shut off. They're getting enough nutrition to live, they're getting enough oxygen to live, but they don't have this flow of life force energy. And this does tend to deplete over time, but somebody our age or somebody my yoga teacher's age can use the pranayama and the asana to appropriate more of that life force energy so that we can be on par with somebody who's chronologically much younger.
Well, I look at least, here's what happened. I got to tell you, it's really hysterical. So here I am, 75, and I'm kind of funny when I go into the senior center because I think that laughter is a great big thing and companionship. So whenever there's a place that I can be wry and do that New York sarcastic humor, back here in California, they're not really used to it, so they titter and they chuckle and they really laugh. And so it makes the practice, not yoga, but when I'm doing other exercises. And I walk into this exercise and this woman says to me, it was just this last Tuesday, she says, "Excuse me." And I said, "Yes." And I had never seen her before. And she said, "Well, you know, this is a senior center. And, you know, you have to be over 50 to take these exercises." And I said, "Yes, I know." She said, "Well, I don't think you belong here." And I said, "Really?" I said, "You're my new best friend because I'm 75. I've been here for 30 years. and I turned around to the instructor. I said, "Tony, she's trying to card me." And everybody was laughing. And then she says, "I want to do what you're doing." I says, "It's a little too late for you. You're not in natural medicine." You know? Anyway, so she was doing exercises and stuff like that. But, you know, so I do look a lot better and I age well. And it's funny because breath work is not just for yoga. I know the Native American Indians, when I'm doing healing work, because I'm an energy healer, a lot of times I will use crystals or wands of crystals to help move energy through the body. And I'm a little different. I'm electromagnetic energy. Most psychics are electrical. And so I can pull things out of my bodies with my hands and stuff. So when I'm doing this, what happens, there's an old ancient Native American Indian way of when you want to clean a crystal, you blow on it with intention and you throw it and you take all that stuff out. What happens with me is whenever, I mean, I'm old, you know, and that's okay, you know, but sometimes I get aches and pains. But what I do with my breath is I will concentrate on the breath and breathe it in and imagine that all the pain go to the spot in my body and all that pain goes into that breath. And when I breathe it out, the pain goes out with the breath. And I keep doing that. And then when it's all clear, I breathe in and imagine white light coming in with that breath, filling in all of that area so that, you know, the negative doesn't go in. So the breath is so important. And yoga is one way of doing it. And there's so many other ways of doing it. And everybody also, you know, when I was studying for doing chakras, everybody thinks there's seven chakras. Well, no, because the nadis in there are, you know, are connected. They're moving this energy around, and there's thousands of chakras in the body, are just little whirling vortexes moving this prana, moving, and it goes through the meridians and doing all of that. But the reason that we get blockages is because there's something blocking that, and sometimes breath or that acupressure or acupuncture actually loosens that up so that everything can go back into the flow. And quite frankly, I'm not on any drugs. I am completely flexible. I look 20 years younger, and, you know, I'm in perfect health. And it's all because I eat right, I exercise, I, you know, give back to society, and I'm very active, and I don't think that that is a detriment. I don't think age is a detriment. I think that age is just a number, and that you just can adjust as you age to doing what's best for you and honor yourself with that and be as active and as wonderful as you possibly can.
You're aging like a yogi.
Yeah, there you go.
Or as somebody said to me the other day, she said, "You're aging successfully." And I thought that was such an interesting phrase. And if you think about it, I guess you can see that you can age successfully, meaning that you're not dealing with so much in terms of physical detriments that it slowed you down terribly. I mean, it slows you down a little bit. Like, I can no longer do the wheel, the back bend in yoga.
Yeah,
and it doesn't have to do with my back. It has to do with my wrists. They just don't bend that far. And so instead of getting bent out of shape about that, I just let it go, do other things. But that's such a tiny concession to age when we know that a lot of people have to make huge concessions to age and infirmity. And I do also want to slip in here something that health shaming. That is a terrible thing, because I know you and I have done so many wonderful, positive, and appropriate things for many years in order to age well, but not everybody knew about that. Not everybody had access. And then there are certain conditions that they just come up no matter what. You know, sometimes genetic predispositions that we haven't been able to avoid with the wonderful epigenetics of lifestyle change and that. And so I always want to be really clear when I'm talking about this. This is not to say, oh, well, look at us. You know, we're out here acting like we're 50 and there's somebody else our same age who isn't. You know, yoga is really about our eternal self and our eternal soul. And we don't know karmically what we are destined to experience in this lifetime. I know the great Indian spiritual teacher from the 1800s, Sri Ramakrishna, that many people believe is an avatar, is an incarnation of the divine, like Jesus or Krishna. And in his later life, he had throat cancer. And this was in the 1800s when pain medicine was not very good, and it was a very, very difficult time for him. And one of his devotees asked one day, but Swami, you're so evolved. You're just this great spiritual personage, and yet you're having to deal with this terrible thing. And Ramakrishna's response was, oh, well, this is just the body. I'm fine. I'm fine. And so I think, you know, we have to. It's wonderful to take care of the body, and this is why I bring up Ayurveda so much in the book, because for me this makes such a difference in the physical body. But no matter what's going on there, the real business of life is to find out who we are, and that we can do in health and not such great health.
Yes, that's exactly right. We're going to have to take a break, and we're going to be right back and talk more with Victoria Moran on her book, Age Like a Yogi, which you can get on Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. Again, that's Age Like a Yogi by Victoria Moran. We'll be right back. Discovering your ancient wisdom symbols is like having a guidebook to tap into the invisible world around you. Whether we know it or not, we use symbols every day, even when we dream. My name is Linda McKenzie, and I'm the author of Symbols of You. This one-of-a-kind book helps you discover your symbols in 42 ancient wisdom topics, from acupressure to Western elements. It gives you insight into yourself, your family, friends, and more. All my life, whether it's been on HealthyLife.net radio, in documentaries, TV, or giving talks and classes, I've always pushed for knowledge of the positive aspects of life. And that's why I wrote this book. With the exercises and charts, you now have the tools to have fun exploring your symbols. This not only helps you in self-discovery, but you can increase your mindfulness, intuition, and even give you insight into life's challenges. This book lets you tap into thousands of timeless facts so you can use it as a reference book over and over again throughout your lifetime. Symbols of You, a self-discovery reference guide by Linda McKenzie, is available now on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and fine bookstores everywhere.
Audiobooks gives you instant access to over 50,000 of the bestsellers and hottest book titles in romance, mystery, fiction, and many other genres. Just visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Audiobooks to get started.
Linda is trying to change the world to a more positive place. If you want to learn more about Linda McKenzie and the wonderful work she is doing, visit LindaMckenzie.net. At LindaMckenzie.net, you'll find a lot of information on balancing your mind, body, and spirit. There are free psychic predictions, plus you can find out Linda's appearance schedule and see what radio and TV shows she will be on. Learn what classes she's teaching or how to get a psychic reading, book a hypnotherapy session, and even get access to her products all through her website. LindaMckenzie.net. Visit LindaMckenzie.net. That's Linda, MackenzieNet.
With so many wonderful authors appearing as guests on HealthyLife.net, you can easily support their work by browsing the Barnes & Noble link on our advertiser page. Browse for books, or even an ebook, DVDs, movies, music, games, gift cards, and more. Find the Barnes & Noble link on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
Every month, a select few get to attend Linda McKenzie's Hip Psychic Soiree, where you get a great talk on the energy of metaphysics, a timely meditation, a one-question psychic reading, and a handmade prepared gourmet meal, including gluten-free scrumptious desserts all made with love and organic ingredients. But seating is limited, so to get your seat at the next Hip Psychic Soiree table, visit LindaMckenzie.net and click on Events for more details.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Hey there, welcome back. You're listening to the Linda McKenzie Show, and we have with us Victoria Moran, and we're talking about her new book, Age Like a Yogi. And we were talking about, we're giving you so much really good information, and basically we were talking about that, you know, no matter how healthy you are, you know, you are still within yourself, and yourself is not your body. It's this little piece of soul that you have inside of you. And one of the things that you have to make sure is that you don't ever give away your power. You know, you make sure that you're seated in your power and understand that things flow in and around you, and but your inner power is yours no matter what. No one can take that from you, you know, so you need to make sure you hold on that. And what other thing that really helps you a lot, I think, in life as you age is being positive. If you look at the more positive things like joy and happiness and love, and remember that we in the moment can always choose whether to be happy or sad, in every moment we have the choice. And if you try and feel down, you know, a couple of things that you can do is you can hum, and the humming brings you all the way up to your heart chakra, and that will stop the depression right away, and it'll make you feel better. And there's, or breathing, if you, there's certain breathing, even yoga breathing, that will increase the nitric oxide in your body that will help you feel better and actually help you heal. So, you know, there's a lot to do with yoga rather than just doing the poses, as Victoria was saying. Now, I was talking, we talked about the asanas, we talked about the breath. Can you tell us all about food over 50 and the Vedas?
Yes, yes. So this comes from Ayurveda, which is yoga's sister science. And everybody's heard about yoga, and not everybody yet has heard about Ayurveda. And the interesting reason for that is that when the British came to India, they let people keep their spiritual practices because they had learned as colonizers that when you get into people's spirituality, you get uprisings. But they did all they could to get rid of the cultural aspects. And so Ayurveda was outlawed. So we, as a culture, started learning about yoga. Even in the 1800s, anybody that could read English was getting this wonderful information from India. That was when people in England and Europe started talking about reincarnation and some of these other ideas that were new at that time to most Westerners. Now, Ayurveda was not legalized until India was free from British rule in the 1940s, so we didn't hear of it so soon. So in my life, I learned about yoga when I was 17, and I learned about Ayurveda when I was 42, I think. So Ayurveda means science of or knowledge of life, or sometimes you'll hear it science of long life. And when you mentioned Vata, Vata is one of the three doshas or humors. So these doshas have an influence on the hours of the day, the phases of each day, the seasons of a life, and also our own particular physiology. So everybody is stamped at the time of conception with a doshic profile. That means some of us have more of certain doshas than another. So we might be mostly kapha and quite a bit of pitta, not very much vata, or we might have that completely flipped around, or some people, you know, it's more even, but the people who are more even, they're no better than anybody else, they're no healthier than anybody else. The cool thing about Ayurveda is you are only tasked to be yourself, because whatever your imprint, whatever your prakriti, which is your doshic blueprint, is, it's absolutely perfect. You just have to keep it there. And when you don't, then dis-ease starts to enter. So what happens is that some of these doshas can overdo. So Vata is one that tends to overdo in everybody, regardless of their personal makeup. But in life, when we're children, we're mostly the kapha dosha, and that's earth and water. And when you see a baby who's all chubby and plump and doesn't get sick except for some mucusy things and ear infections, that's kapha. And that's the nature of kapha. And then in midlife, from the time of kind of completing our education until postmenopausal or traditional retirement age, we are pitta, and pitta is fiery. Pitta is full of energy to the point that it can even be aggressive. And this is necessary. So again, regardless of our personal doshic makeup, in midlife we have more of that pitta energy. But in later life, we have more vata energy. Vata is air and ether. So it's very flighty. And what happens is that we start to see, most people start to see as they age, a dryness of hair, skin, nails, eyes. We start to find some dryness and creakiness in the joints. illness. It could be full-blown osteoarthritis or just a little bit of, oh gosh, I got up this morning and I was stiff. That didn't used to happen. We can also find that we get colder, that we need a sweater more often. I always used to wonder why all of the old people went to Arizona and Florida. And now I understand. Because when you get too much vata, it's just easier, more difficult to regulate temperature and to keep yourself warm. So it also, emotionally with vata, if there's anxiety and there's a tendency to fear. So we certainly don't want our later years plagued with all this kind of stuff. So what we need to do is bring vata into balance. It's not a bad thing, vata. All of these doshas are what they are, but we need to keep it at a stable level. So some of the things that are so helpful as we get older to keep vata balanced, we want to stay warm. We want to have a daily routine that we can depend on. If we travel, if we change time zones, we want to give ourselves more time to settle back in because all that change is harder to adapt to. We want to stay warm. We want to not be embarrassed to say to the hostess at the restaurant, I need to move away from the air conditioning. It's just not working for me. And then in terms of food, particularly in the colder seasons of the year, we really want to give ourselves that warmth. I was talking to somebody the other day who said, I came through diet culture and I was taught that salad could solve everything. Well, salad is not the best thing for vata unless it's really the heat of summer. And so soups and stews and hot cereal and what we think of as kind of healthy comfort foods. Also, digestion can be not quite as strong because of vata. Vata is known for variable digestion. So maybe one day you have bean soup and zucchini bread and it's just wonderful, and then another day you have it and you've got gas and all kinds of digestive stuff going on that's unhappy. So we want to just be real gentle with ourselves. That keeps the vata down, and then the aging goes slower. It's kind of miraculous and really pretty revolutionary in that whole crowded world of, quote, anti-aging. Just being able to pacify vata with food and lifestyle is splendid.
I think that's a great thing. We've got to go to break, and we're going to come right back with Victoria Moran and her book, Age Like a Yogi. Discovering your ancient wisdom symbols is like having a guidebook to tap into the invisible world around you. Whether we know it or not, we use symbols every day, even when we dream. My name is Linda McKenzie, and I'm the author of Symbols of You. This one-of-a-kind book helps you discover your symbols in 42 ancient wisdom topics, from acupressure to Western elements. It gives you insight into yourself, your family, friends, and more. All my life, whether it's been on HealthyLife.net radio, in documentaries, TV, or giving talks and classes, I've always pushed for knowledge of the positive aspects of life. And that's why I wrote this book. With the exercises and charts, you now have the tools to have fun exploring your symbols. This not only helps you in self-discovery, but you can increase your mindfulness, intuition, and even give you insight into life's challenges. This book lets you tap into thousands of timeless facts so you can use it as a reference book over and over again throughout your lifetime. Symbols of You, a self-discovery reference guide by Linda McKenzie, is available now on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and fine bookstores everywhere.
Every month, a select few get to attend Linda McKenzie's Hip Psychic Soiree, where you get a great talk on the energy of metaphysics, a timely meditation, a one-question psychic reading, and a handmade prepared gourmet meal, including gluten-free, scrumptious desserts, all made with love and organic ingredients. But seating is limited, so to get your seat at the next Hip Psychic Soiree table, visit lindamckenzie.net and click on events for more details.
Stuff, stuff, stuff. Where can I contain all of my stuff? How about this? The Container Store, the original storage and organization store. And I found their link on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. They have containers for everything, including the kitchen, the bathroom, trash and recycling, traveling, spring cleaning, and dorm rooms. Just about everything you can think of to contain your stuff. The Container Store, right on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
You can't imagine the whole crazy world, but right now, you can get some great help to manage your own. If you're searching out a new perspective on what matters to you most, with solid information, strong opinion, and lifelong practice, enhanced insight, Linda McKenzie is the professional God-based psychic you want in your team. Join the list of thousands who have already benefited from Linda's psychic counsel over the years for both short and long-term guidance in personal and professional concerns. Visit LindaMcKenzie.net for more information and call 800-555-5453 to schedule. And tune in to the Linda McKenzie Show each week on HealthyLife.net.
Hey there, welcome back. You're listening to the Linda McKenzie Show. We have with us Victoria Moran. We're talking about her book, Age Like a Yogi. And we were talking before about food over 50 and how we can, keep our life source going in a good manner. And one of the ways that Victoria was saying is that we have to honor ourselves and maybe not, accommodate ourselves. For example, I do holiday meals here for, 12, 15 people. And I used to get up in the morning when I was young and I would do the whole meal that day. Have the china and everything going, right? And now I still do the meals, but what I do is I make sure that I'm preparing 2 or 3 days in advance so that I don't have to have all of the overwhelming things done. I have everything done, and then I have the energy to enjoy the meal rather than push myself to get everything done at that one time. The other thing that I found very interesting is that, as you age, your digestion goes off. By the time you're 35, your digestive enzymes in your body start waning so that they don't break down the food. So even at 35, you need digestive enzymes to kind of help you with that. And sometimes they're natural, like pineapple has papaya and pineapple has bromelain, and that helps break down things, and papaya helps break down things. But sometimes you need supplements, and as you age, and I was a president of a dietary supplement company for 8 years, so I live on supplements and vitamins as well as good food, too, because food can give you vitamins, too, if you know what to eat. But sometimes as you age, you need a little bit more help. So if you go to the store and get digestive enzymes, one thing you need to know is that every couple of months, you've got to change the brand because your body gets used to that. And when you're doing meat, meat will stay in your system a lot longer. I know Victoria's vegan, I'm not, but meat will stay in your system and it won't break down, and it will cause a lot more problems as you get older. So betaine hydrochloride or HCI, if you take that, it will break down meat and get it out of your system easier. So there's different things. Andrographics, which is a wonderful herb from between China and Tibet. Not only does it help food digestion, but it also helps to protect you against cancer. So there's so many things. So you're not going to find these answers anymore at the web, because Google and all these places now do not have anything about herbs and things anymore unless you type it in specifically. And even when you do, it's going to come up, use the Western medicine kind of thing. So, on HealthyLife.net's resource page, our link page, we have wonderful resources where you can go and check in and get all the information. And of course, we have lots of wonderful shows here to help you learn about natural medicine too. So meanwhile, back with Victoria. Sorry, Victoria. But what is a sacred schedule and the glow factor all about?
Well, those are a couple of things, and they're, again, both from Ayurveda, and yoga is chiming in alongside. The schedule is just what we were talking about with the food, except it's these doshas applied to the times of the day. So according to Ayurveda, the energies are cyclic. So if you go to bed at night by 10 o'clock, you're going to get in on a kind of sleepy energy, and it's going to help you sleep. But if you stay up late and you get that so-called second wind, Ayurveda says, well, that's not second wind. That's just an energetic energy that's coming in after 10. if you wake up in the morning by 6 o'clock, and I know all the night people are going, 6 o'clock, are you kidding? So I'm just the messenger here. But again, in Ayurveda, that energy starts to shift. So if you get up early, and we know that a lot of the very great spiritual teachers are up even before the sun in a time called Brahma Muhurta, which is supposed to be when it's easiest to meditate and make that connection. And we also know that a lot of the most successful people are up really early. These super duper movers and shakers have this thing called the 5 a.m. club, and they're up changing the world while the rest of us are still sleeping. And Ayurveda says maybe you don't have to get up that early, but if you can be up by 6 or just about, you're going to be riding that energetic wave. And if you get up too much after that, then this calmer energy is going to be happening, and you're going to want to sleep later. So we want to get to bed early. Ayurveda says that the day starts the night before, because we want to have a wonderful night's sleep in a cool, dark room without electronic devices.
Right.
One of the Ayurvedic suggestions for a good night's sleep is to massage your feet with warm sesame oil. And the best way to warm it at nighttime is just rub it in your hands and let the warmth from your hands warm the oil, and then massage that into your feet and put on some socks that don't have a tight band. And it's incredibly soporific, really, really helpful for sleep. And then as we go on moving into the day, so we're up early and we're doing our wonderful self-care. So tongue scraping is big in Ayurveda. Splashing your face with water or spritzing it with rose water, all happy things to do in the morning. You know, our getting out in the sunlight early so that our pineal gland can get that indication that now we're awake and tonight we're going to be asleep. So we do that. We do our work in the morning, and then we have, and this is a tough one for people who work out in the world, but, you know, you can usually find a way to do just about anything you really want to, and that is to have the biggest meal in the middle of the day. And this is because Agni, the digestive fire, is hottest at high noon. And so many people make just this change, and it's as if their whole life changes. And it's not that alien, because if we think about our grandparents and great-grandparents' day here in America, when most people were rural, their schedule was breakfast, dinner, supper. The evening meal was a light meal to supplement what had come earlier. And Ayurveda would say that's a really good idea. You eat when your digestive fire is hottest. And then in the evening, you have supper, which is a smaller meal, maybe a little bit easier to digest. And you want to eat fairly early, because ideally you'll have 3 hours after you finish eating before you go to bed. So if you're going to bed at 10, it would be wonderful to finish dinner by 7. If that's not possible, then finish dinner by 8, and you'll at least have 2 hours of digesting time so that your sleep will be better.
Well, I think that's great. You know, you're telling me all of this, and I've been doing all of this and didn't know I was supposed to be following this, but here I was, because I do rose water in the morning. I get up at 5 in the morning. I eat at, I actually do intermittent fasting. I don't eat anything after 6, and I wake up and I don't really eat until about 10, and then I have my largest meal around 10, 1 o'clock, and then I have a very light meal at 4, and around 4 or 5 o'clock, and then I'll have one little sweet, and I limit something, little sweet, maybe at 7, and that's it, and so it's a very easy way to live, and it's very healthy, and you feel better, because everyone knows if you have a really heavy meal, you can't digest so much anymore, and there's a lot more gas going on in your system, and all, no matter what you're eating, right? So, these tips that Victoria tells you in her book are very, very, very good for you, and you really should pay attention, because it gives you more energy, and it gives you more life force, and it makes you have a happier life, I think. So thanks, Victoria.
Well, heaven, and you do an intuitive Ayurveda.
Exactly.
And I realize I didn't touch on glow factor that you asked about.
Yeah, but we got to go to break. So when we come back, right, we'll talk about the glow. Okay, we'll be right back, everyone.
Stop, and don't use those costly weight loss drugs that don't work and cause nasty side effects anyway. Choose a total, natural approach to weight loss using your mind to change your body. That's the Total Mind Body Spirit Weight Loss Book, a unique program that helps you lose the weight and keep it off using the power of your mind to transform your body. Available as a paperback, ebook, and audiobook. Buy it now and lose the weight without diets or drugs. It's everything you need, so whether it's 5 pounds or 100, get the Total Mind Body Spirit Weight Loss Book today at Amazon, Barnes & Nobles, and wherever fine books are sold.
Okay, so you have a couple of days off, and you're planning to get away from stress. You may be planning to go across the world or even taking a staycation around town. Well, Hotels.com can get you a room in over 158,000 hotels, 60 countries, for 50% off. That's reducing stress already. Plus, collect 10 nights, and you'll get one night free. And there's no cancellation charges, no change fees. For the best deals, even last-minute deals, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Hotels.com.
You can't imagine the whole crazy world, but right now, you can get some great help to manage your own. If you're searching out a new perspective on what matters to you most, with solid information, strong opinion, and lifelong practice, enhanced insight, Linda McKenzie is the professional God-based psychic you want in your team. Join the list of thousands who have already benefited from Linda's psychic counsel over the years for both short and long-term guidance in personal and professional concerns. Visit LindaMcKenzie.net for more information and call 800-555-5453 to schedule. And tune in to the Linda McKenzie Show each week on HealthyLife.net.
You know, when my grandson takes a long car trip, he listens to audiobooks. A long drive seems faster, and sometimes he doesn't want to get out of the car because the book isn't finished. With over 100,000 books, Audible.com is one of the best places to get audiobooks. You can listen to a bestseller anytime, anywhere. Audible.com, your destination for the widest selection of audiobooks. Join millions of listeners. Just go to the Audible.com on HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click.
Linda is trying to change the world to a more positive place. If you want to learn more about Linda McKenzie and the wonderful work she is doing, visit LindaMcKenzie.net. At LindaMcKenzie.net, you'll find a lot of information on balancing your mind, body, and spirit. There are free psychic predictions. Plus, you can find out Linda's appearance schedule and see what radio and TV shows she will be on. Learn what classes she's teaching or how to get a psychic reading, book a hypnotherapy session, and even get access to her products all through her website. LindaMcKenzie.net. Visit LindaMcKenzie.net. That's Linda, MacKenzie.net.
Hey there, welcome back. You're listening to the Linda McKenzie Show. We have with us Victoria Moran, and we're talking about her book, Age Like a Yogi, giving you lots of tips to be happy and healthy and live longer and better and feel even better. And so we were, right before the break, we're going to talk about the glow. What is the glow factor, Victoria?
Well, you know, that idea of lighting up a room, we've all known people of every age who seem to have this extra light. And much of that comes from the soul and the spirit, being someone who meditates, being someone who cares about others, who does selfless service, and there are all aspects of yoga as well. And yet when we really zero in on glow factor in Ayurveda, it's about something called ojas, which is described as a golden fluid. Now, obviously, a phlebotomist is not going to take that golden fluid out of your veins because it's not physical. This is an etheric substance described in the literature. And yet, it's the result of perfect digestion. And we just talked about sometimes digestion gets a little iffy. You gave some great suggestions for helping it out. So the better the digestion is, the stronger are our tissues. And when we're really nourished in every way, then we tend to have that kind of juiciness that is a keynote of youth and that often kind of fades away later. So we want to take extremely good care of ourselves in all ways, And we also want to focus on some particular OJOS-building foods, which tend to be kind of juicy and a little bit sweet. So we're talking about things like dates and citrus fruits, sweet potato, these sorts of foods that allow that kind of light to shine. So when you were talking about the papaya and the pineapple, these are all great OJOS boosters. So take care of your digestion and eat some foods that are really alive and colorful. And see if after a month or so, this is not an overnight fix, but see what happens with how people respond to you. And very often you'll find they're saying, gosh, you look really nice. What did you do?
Well, it was really interesting. I want to tell you a fun story. Sally Kirkland asked me to go to Martin Landau was doing something at the Actor's Studio, and she said, would you come and be my guest? And I said, sure. So she was already there, and so I was going up the elevator, and everybody was, approaching me like I was a movie star type thing, and I wasn't. You know, I was just an everyday average girl. You know, I was in radio, but not anything special. And I noticed that whenever I walked, wherever I walked, everybody was looking at me. I mean, and actually looking at me. And then I met Sally, and she introduced me to John Cameron and all these people and whatever. And everyone was just looking at me. And being psychic, I felt, what's going on here? And then I went and looked, and I took a look around, and I felt that everyone in the room was an aspiring actor or actress, and they had been, they didn't have a lot of money, and they were not healthy. And what was happening is that I was all into natural health, right? I don't do, wheat, sugar, dairy. I mean, I haven't done that since 1992. So I'm a very strict diet. And what happened was they were reacting to my health. There was a health glow coming from me. And, I said to God, what is this? And God said, well, it's your health. And I said, oh, so what you're talking about is really physically there. And so when you eat healthy, it comes out and it exudes this energy. And people are drawn to that if they're they're just drawn to it because it's like an inner beauty. You don't see the outside. You're seeing the health,
Exactly. Yeah, that's OJOS.
Right. And the other thing I have to tell you is the last 10 years, I've been cooking a lot of Indian food myself and using a lot of turmeric and all this. And, of course, turmeric helps, with aches and pains and arthritis and all sorts of stuff. So if we intuitively feel and cook what we feel, I think that if you are coming from the right place, you will get everything you need because your body will tell you what you need. But you have to get off the addictions first of the sugars and all of that because your body will crave that if you're addicted to it rather than the whole foods that you need. And it's good to have some sugar. You have to have that sweet taste because isn't it Ayurveda? You need all tastes to feel satisfied, the salty, the sweet, the sour. You need all of that in a meal so that you feel completely satisfied. But there's simple sugars like dates that you can use or, coconut sugar or maple syrup that are simple sugars that are natural that will break down 3 times faster and will not get you addicted like the aspartame is pure cancer, So anyway, that's some of the stuff, and I believe in your glow. So we're almost out of time, so tell me a little bit about where people can find out more about you and your book and all that.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, the book, as you said, is wherever people can buy books, and I'm very proud that this one also has an audio edition that is on audible.com and audiobooks.com that I got to read, which was so much fun. That was just such a joy. So the book is available in every format, and if people want to find out more about me as an author, victoriamoran.com, really easy. And you did mention Main Street Vegan Academy. Thank you. I've been training vegan lifestyle coaches and educators there since 2012. So do take a look if you're interested in that at mainstreetvegan.com. And in terms of social media, I'm on Facebook and Instagram and whatnot at Victoria Moran Author.
Well, you've done so many books and things, and I just want to say thank you for being you and helping the world, Victoria.
Oh, well, back at you. And just today when you were describing just, you know, the selling 175 and I'm doing this and this and this, and it's like, oh, my gosh, this is why we need role models, those who are older and those who are our same age and those who are young and doing amazing things, because we learn from each other and that's how we grow. So thank you, too, very, very much.
All right. Well, thanks for being on, and we're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Stop, and don't use those costly weight loss drugs that don't work and cause nasty side effects anyway. Choose a total, natural approach to weight loss using your mind to change your body. That's the Total Mind, Body, Spirit Weight Loss Book, a unique program that helps you lose the weight and keep it off, using the power of your mind to transform your body. Available as a paperback, ebook, and audiobook. Buy it now and lose the weight without diets or drugs. It's everything you need, so whether it's 5 pounds or 100, get the Total Mind, Body, Spirit Weight Loss Book today at Amazon, Barnes & Nobles, and wherever fine books are sold.
Discovering your ancient wisdom symbols is like having a guidebook to tap into the invisible world around you. Whether we know it or not, we use symbols every day, even when we dream. My name is Linda McKenzie, and I'm the author of Symbols of You. This one-of-a-kind book helps you discover your symbols in 42 ancient wisdom topics, from acupressure to Western elements. It gives you insight into yourself, your family, friends, and more. All my life, whether it's been on HealthyLife.net radio, in documentaries, TV, or giving talks and classes, I've always pushed for knowledge of the positive aspects of life. And that's why I wrote this book. With the exercises and charts, you now have the tools to have fun exploring your symbols. This not only helps you in self-discovery, but you can increase your mindfulness, intuition, and even give you insight into life's challenges. This book lets you tap into thousands of timeless facts so you can use it as a reference book over and over again throughout your lifetime. Symbols of You, a self-discovery reference guide by Linda McKenzie, is available now on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and fine bookstores everywhere.
Every month, a select few get to attend Linda McKenzie's Hip Psy Chick Soiree, where you get a great talk on the energy of metaphysics, a timely meditation, a one-question psychic reading, and a handmade prepared gourmet meal, including gluten-free scrumptious desserts all made with love and organic ingredients. But seating is limited, so to get your seat at the next Hip Psy Chick Soiree table, visit lindamckenzie.net and click on Events for more details.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Linda McKenzie Show. At least you were. I hope you got one or two tips today that will help you age well. And if you would like to drop me a line, you can send an email to linda@lindamckenzie.net. You know, life is funny, but you got to grab it. And I've so enjoyed this hour with you. Until next time, this is Linda McKenzie, wishing you a week of expectancy, play, and peace. Bye.